Dear friends, we live in a world where we are not immune to suffering. We meet suffering from living in a fallen world, such as sickness, aging, and natural disasters. We also meet suffering from others and from the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's Ephesians 6 says, and we meet suffering from within the soul. I will be honest, this spring and summer have not been altogether easy for me. The besetting sin I wrestle with is anxiety, when you feel helpless over your own and others' suffering and difficult circumstances. You wish you had control, but there you simply need to trust in God. Perhaps you can recognize yourself in me. Perhaps deep within you, in your soul, something troubles you. Perhaps it is over an uncertain future, sickness, something hard you're going through, a sin you wrestle with, something that has happened to you, or that which almost no one else knows except God. Today we are going to go to Psalm 62, which has become a refuge for me, that has carried me, that I often pray from for those I know who are suffering. In the psalm, David finds himself in very difficult circumstances, and how he is mistreated by his enemies. And in the most difficult circumstances, he shares life-transforming truths that give you and me hope and help for us here and now and on into eternity. So let us read from Psalm 62. David writes to the choir master, according to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Selah. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. And God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that for these words. I pray that you would use them mightily in our lives, and that Christ be exalted, and pray and speak for your Holy Spirit in us. Help us trust, give us rest, give us stillness in you, refuge, peace in you. Help us to give this message to others. In Jesus' name, Amen. Here in the psalm, we're going to note three things. First, in order to understand the psalm, we're going to look in verses 3 to 4 at David's circumstances, the pressure that David has to face. Read in verses 3 to 4. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. The only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Selah. The Swedish translation Folkbibeln chooses to translate it as storm against, which can mean to be under attack, to be pressed down. Here it is as if David is in a storm or in a war under attack. During his life, David was on the run several times, among others from Saul and Absalom, his son. He was slandered, and they tried to kill him. They tried to batter him down like a leaning wall or a tottering fence. Together they plan to get rid of him. They lie. They bless with their mouths, but curse inwardly. Can you imagine what David felt in all of this? The pressure from the outside reaching his soul. Try to picture what he felt. When the pressure from without reaches the soul, the thoughts that's been, the belief that probably falters, the pain, the helplessness, and the tendency toward discouragement and hopelessness. Probably none of us is in exactly the same situation as David. But we can likely all in one way or another recognize the soul's struggle in difficulty and suffering. And in the suffering and the difficulties, the evil one wants to come with his lies and temptations. We're tempted to trust in and flee to so many substitutes and replacements in order to quiet the soul. In the world, people do everything to quiet the soul's unrest. Activities, alcohol, drugs, mindfulness, new age, relationships, a new job. The list could be made long. And even we as Christians also take our refuge in people and things that in themselves need not to be wrong, but which, when they take on too great proportions, become a substitute that removes the one thing that can truly quiet our soul and give true peace and rest, even in life's storm. How then can we handle the soul's unrest? What is the one thing that can ultimately quiet our souls? Which brings us to our second point, the truth. The truth. This psalm uses the word alone 6 times. In Swedish we see it 5 times. So what is the truth in verse 1, verse 2? For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. Literally, for God alone my soul is still. under the attack, likely from his own people in the storm, David finds himself in, he says that his soul is still in God alone. This is also the answer for you and me in our sufferings, in our difficult circumstances, and anxiety and the worries come and knock on the door. When the world around us is shaken, when it feels as if our circumstances seem to be eating us up, in the most difficult times, our souls can still can be still and content in the Lord. We can have complete rest in Him. The same Hebrew root word occurs in several places in the Psalter. For example, in Psalm 22, verse 2, where a psalmist is in his distress finds no rest, no stillness. But it is also used in Psalm 131, verse 2, but a small baby. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Imagine a hungry infant crying for its mother's milk. But when it is weaned, it is calm and still without needing milk. It is confident that its mother will give it real food, so it is still without crying. In the same way, David describes himself in Psalm 131, verse 2, as having calmed and quieted his soul in the Lord. And it is this truth that he brings out in the most difficult circumstances in Psalm 62, verse 2, verse 1, for God alone my soul is still. When it feels like if his whole world is shaken, in the very midst of the soul's struggle, he is reminded of this truth. Why could he there and then, why can he, we here and now, hold fast to this truth? Because of the end of verses 1 to 2. For God alone my soul waits in silence, from Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. He can hold fast to his truth because from God comes his salvation. When we and my family were in the States this summer, there was a tropical storm with flooding, and we were as we were driving, had we come 1 hour later, we would not have made it through that evening because it would have been flooded so much. Later on the trip, an entire wall of a building had given way because of flooding. A church in that building collapsed, was moved into the building. But there is one place that does not move. No matter how much the wind blows or how much it rains and floods, and if there is flooding, and that is a rock. David describes God in distress and difficulties as an immovable rock and as a highly exalted fortress. Imagine a rock, a great stone in the middle of the sea. Here in the Gothenburg we have our islands, which are really strong rocks. How much the waves beat against it, however hard the wind blows, it does not move. It stays put. So is God. He never moves, however much it storms around us. A fortress firmly founded on a rock. When the storm comes, when the flood sweeps through, then God is our rescue. a help in trouble, well proved, as Psalm 36 verse 1 speaks of. The storm comes, shakes everything in its path, but not the rock and the fortress. Jesus is a rock that stands firm as a mountain. He is the fortress that is not moved. That rock has a name, and the name is Jesus. He holds you fast, and he never lets go. But everything else is shaken. So in the midst of life's storm, Jesus Christ is the most firm foundation that stands immovably fast. In him we can be secure. David says at the end of verse 2, I shall not be shaken. Literally, it says, I shall not be greatly shaken. Without Christ, he who is a rock and fortress, we will be shaken. But when we flee to him and trust in him in the storm, then we will not be greatly shaken. But oh, how prone we are to flee to everything else. The thoughts that will not stop, the anxiety, our own attempts to control the circumstances, our fear. But dear friend, Jesus, the mountain firm rock, our refuge and fortress, is there. He is not moved by the fiercest whirlwind or hurricane. And though we still are souls in him, we will not be moved. He is our salvation. He is our rescue. So flee to him. Leave what you're carrying with Jesus. How then can we steal our souls in him? This leads us to our third point. The exhortations in verses 5 to 12. Here, David shifts from speaking descriptively about the truth he knows to the truth that he first preaches to himself and then to God's people. Let us begin by looking at the truth which he exhorts himself in verse 5 to 7. Be still, my soul. From having in verse 1 literally described that God alone is where his soul is still, he literally in verse 5 in Hebrew commands his soul to be still. It's not really caught in the Swedish translation. It says in Swedish, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. For God alone, be still, my soul. When the thoughts spin, when it feels as if the circumstances are eating us up, when the difficulties are there, you see no way out, then you may speak to your soul like David. For God alone, be still, my soul. The preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was active during the middle of the 1900s, wrote an entire book called Spiritual Depression, in which from Psalm 32 to 33 spoke on the importance in difficulties of not merely listening to oneself, but speaking the truth from God's word to oneself. In these two psalms, we see a refrain that occurs three times. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. In a similar way, David here in Psalm 62, verse 5, speaks to his soul to be still. And in the same way, we need daily to preach the truths of the gospel to ourselves. For God alone, be still my soul. What is the basis for this? Why can we say this? Read at the end of verses 5 to 7. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. We can command our souls to be still, because from God comes our hope. We have the hope of the glory of God, which Paul so beautifully describes in Romans 5, verses 2 to 5. Through him we have also obtained access by faith, Paul says, into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That is the hope that one day we will be glorified in glory with God when Jesus returns in glory. Paul does not stop there. He continues. More than that, he says, words that might sound crazy, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have the hope of eternity, but also the hope in the present. God's love has been poured into our hearts. He is already here in the present, our hope, as Psalm 62 verse 6 speaks of, by repeating the truths of verse 2. In the storm, Jesus alone is our salvation, our rock, our fortress. I shall not be shaken. In Hebrew, there's a difference here compared with verse 2, where it literally says, I shall not be greatly shaken. Whereas here in verse 6, it literally says, I shall not be shaken. So, David's faith grows as he preaches to himself. When we truly in suffering difficulties and our circumstances have quieted our souls in him, then we need not be shaken at all. We stand on a rock that never shakes. But when our focus, as so easily happens, is on the circumstances instead of on Jesus, then we experience being shaken. As his children in faith in Jesus, his death and resurrection, as our only hope in life and death, we will not be shaken to pieces. He holds us fast and will faithfully lead us into his heavenly promised land. We're promised no life without trials, difficulties, suffering, and sickness. But he promises to lead all who truly believe him to our heavenly promised land. And when we command our souls to be still, and we trust him, our rock, fortress and salvation, then we can rest in the midst of a storm. Then we need not be shaken. In the storm, command your soul, like David, to be still, flee to Jesus. He is our salvation, glory, mighty, immovable rock, and our refuge. What a wonderful truth. In verse 8 and onward, David widens the exhortation to also include the people. He commands the people in verse 8, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. The evil one wants to make us doubt God in our suffering. But David not only says that we can always trust God, he commands us to it because it is so true. I do not need to have control over our circumstances. All we need is to trust in him. But let's do it in sincerity and honesty, pouring out our hearts before him. Psalter is full of laments, and it is okay to grieve and to empty out what is in our hearts before him. Disappointment, hopelessness, anxiety, worry, everything that troubles us. We are not God. We cannot carry it ourselves. Let us express it to him. Let us give it to Jesus and trust that he is loving, good, and that he reigns. Jesus said to his people, who was weighed down by sin, weighed down by imposed burdens, in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gently and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Come to Jesus and give your burdens and circumstances to him. Give your anxiety, give your suffering, give what troubles you to him. The Apostle Peter says, "Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Trust in him and acknowledge that he is God and not you. It is not your task or mine to shoulder the burdens of the universe, but to trust that he does. Empty out your heart to him and trust in Jesus. But oh, how easily we trust in other things. Verse 9 to 10, we get listed the things we should not take our refuge in and should not trust instead of God. It says those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. The three words rendered breath, lighter than a breath, and vain hope all come from the Hebrew word that Ecclesiastes uses for vanity or fleetingness. That which is like a mist, a breath that goes does not last. In David's circumstances, he saw that he could not trust in people as his ultimate refuge. Note that David does not say that people are worthless. He says that they are light. They weigh too little to bear our whole weight. God gives us people who are great gifts. Parents, friends, leaders, brothers and sisters in the faith. We are called to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But no person, however loved and faithful, was ever meant to be a rock. People come and go. They move away. They get sick. One day they go, or we, ahead of us into eternity. When we lay on a person that weight, that only Jesus can bear, then we will be shaken when they are no longer here. But the rock stands immovably firm. Jesus is there when everything else changes. When the storm comes, it will not do to have our ultimate refuge in people, but only in Jesus. Our rock and fortress. In the Old Testament, a problem was that kings relied on chariots, horses, and a strong army instead of on the Lord. And is it not the same with us, that we rely on human strength? But it is as the Lord says to Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. He said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This applies to our lives. God works in human weakness, in our dependence on Him. Everything else we flee to instead of God becomes a false refuge. We cannot trust in his methods. David's enemies trusted in unrighteous dealing, in violence and theft, but it will not hold. At the end of verse 12, God will repay each one according to their deeds. No unrighteous methods or injustice in the world will go unpunished. Therefore, we can let go of our own attempts to take the law into our own hands or seek security in perishable things, and instead fully trust in God. We are saved by grace through faith, not based on works, but a judgment will be based on works. God will hold all people accountable for their actions, including David's enemies. He will also hold you and me accountable. But Jesus says in John 5:24 says that truly, truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment but has passed from death to life. So if you trust in Jesus, that through his life, death and resurrection, he came to rescue you from your sin. If he is your only hope in life and death, then you will not come into judgment. Jesus has taken that upon him on the cross. At the end of verse 10, David warns against trusting in riches, even if they grow. Money and wealth can give a tempting security. But one day, it can be gone in the snap of a finger. And when we leave this earthly life, we cannot take with us anything of what we own. But Jesus remains. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the only one we can trust in. Is there something in your life that has become a substitute for stilling your soul in God. Something you trust in instead of Him. What is it you flee to in your circumstances? What is it you go to in order to still your soul? What? Whatever it is, if it is what you ultimately set your refuge in, it will not deliver what you perhaps think. Maybe food, exercise, alcohol, your relationship, the job, the trip, money, sex, social media. It will never steal your soul. Only Jesus. You may find a quick fix, fast, temporary relief of stress, but it cannot steal your soul. So how do we do this in practice? Let me give you one simple thing. When the anxiety comes, and it will come, do as David did. Stop merely listening to your soul and begin to speak to it. Martin Lloyd-Jones said that much of our unhappy condition is due to our listening to ourselves, where we should instead be preaching to ourselves. Your soul says to you, everything is collapsing, no one carries me, I'm stuck in my sin. The future is uncertain. Answer it with God's word. For God alone, be still my soul. He is my rock and my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Jesus is the only one who stands immovably firm. The only one it is worth building your life on. Take one truth from this psalm this week. Write it down, memorize it, ponder it, and pray it. Preach it to yourself in the morning before the anxiety gets ahead of you, and in the evening or night when it keeps you awake. It is not a formula that removes the difficulty, but it is turning the soul again and again back to the rock, Jesus, the only place where it can be still. But why can we truly trust in this? Why can we turn our soul back to Him and be still? Once again, David gives us the basis in verses 11 to 12. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this. That power belongs to God, and that you, O Lord, belong steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. God is almighty. Nothing happens without his permission. He is sovereign and has everything in his hand, even your circumstances and mine. If God were not almighty, we could not steal our souls and trust that He saves and is with us. With God there is not only power, with Him there is also in verse 12 love or covenant love, as it cannot be translated. Note that David has heard not just one thing but two. If God were only almighty, if He had all power but were not good, then we would fear Him. But we could not rest in Him. We would not know whether He was for us or against us. And if God were only loving and gracious, if He loved us but lacked power to be a refuge in our distress, then we could be fond of Him, but we could not trust him in the storm. A good God without power can weep with us, but he cannot rescue us. But with God, there is both power and the grace. He is strong enough to carry everything, and good enough to want to carry it for you. To want to carry it for you. That is why, and only why, we can command our soul to be still without closing our eyes to reality. It is not naive, wishful thinking. It is resting in who God actually is. And where do we see this most clearly of all? At the cross. There God showed his power over sin and death, and his boundless grace toward us. When we look at the cross, we see that he lacks neither power nor help, love to want to. We will be reminded of this in the Lord's Supper. It's on this foundation that Romans 8:28 rests. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose, all things work together for good. Not because everything that happens is good, but because a God who is both almighty and loving weaves even the hardest things for the good of our souls. And what is that good? In the next verse, Romans 8:29, to be conformed to the image of his Son, to become like Jesus. This is the God who carries us, because he is who he is. We can do as David did, and which I have done time after time. One night this summer, I woke and felt the anxiety come. I had just preached from Psalm 16, a wonderful psalm, and it was as if God lit up that text, and I was able to speak it into my life and find stillness in the Lord. Something that has been of enormous help to me is to speak out the scriptures by singing truths from them. It has carried me through my life as a Christian. One who stands mountain firm in life's storm. He is the one to whom we turn our soul back to. So in the trials we meet, in the temptation, in the suffering, in the sickness, in everything, let us take to heart David's words. For you alone, be still, my soul. Trust in him. Let us pray. Why do we confess that so many times as Christians take a refuge to what does not last, to sinking sand instead of going to you, you who are the rock, Jesus, you who are our fortress, help us. You see exactly each one of you who on here goes through difficulties, who the difficulties we will face, the suffering that we can't avoid in a fallen world. Lord, help us as a church, to help us as Christians to grow in our trusting in you, in our that we would steal our souls in you, that we would flee to the one who you are, your nature, that we can trust in you. I thank you that you never let us down, that you're always there for us. Help us to see that and to turn to you. I pray also, if there's someone here who doesn't know you, that you would open their eyes to turn to you, you, our steadfast rock, and to find rest and peace in you. We pray for the world around us, in that city and around the world. We pray that many people would come to know you, have peace with you. Use us to point to the hope that we have to the dying world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.